From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to me Ahmad Faisal in English program. Hopefully you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that can not only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other self-information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz, and website www.voinews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headline. Indonesian House Speaker invites Japanese investors to Nusantara. Indonesian Vice President says entrepreneurs, governments, partners in developing economy. Malaysian Parliament approves energy efficiency law. I'm Rahmawati, now the news in detail. Speakers of the Indonesian House of Representatives Puan Maharani invited Japanese investors to participate in the development of Indonesia's new capital or IKN Nusantara during her meeting with Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida in Tokyo on Tuesday. Maharani and her entourage were received at Kishida's office in Tokyo. The meeting is part of her working visit to Japan, during which she will be staying for the next few days. The visit by Indonesian House of Representatives delegation led by Maharani also coincided with the 65th anniversary of diplomatic relations between Indonesia and Japan. Japan is Indonesia's third largest trading partner. She explained that Japan could invest in the construction of Nusantara. Indonesian Vice President Ma'ruf Amin said the entrepreneurs are partners of the government in developing the economy and improving people's welfare. According to Amin, during his visit to Papua on Tuesday, he and his entourage listened to suggestions from several religious figures and human rights activists to ensure that in the future, appropriate efforts can be made to resolve their specific problems. He said he and accompanying officials also held coordination meetings on accelerating the construction of facilities and infrastructures, especially in the four new autonomous regions, and discussed the problems faced by regional governments. As an effort to improve the governance of the placement of Indonesian migrant workers and expand employment opportunities in the country, the Indonesian Ministry of Manpower is implementing the Productive Migrant Village Program. Indonesian Minister of Manpower Ida Fauzia said this program was implemented to provide protection and security for Indonesian migrant workers. In a special interview with RRI Voice of Indonesia on Wednesday in Jakarta, Minister Ida Fauzia said villages are at the forefront of the migration process of Indonesian migrant workers. Therefore, productive migrant work villages have an important role in ensuring that the migration of Indonesian migrant workers is carried out safely.
Desa itu menjadi garda terdepan proses migrasi karena
the village is at the forefront of the migration process because most migrant workers live in villages. So to ensure that they migrate safely, we are building a productive migrant village. One of them provides information about safe migration.
Informasi tentang migrasi yang aman.
Furthermore, Ida Fauziah explained currently there are 500 villages in Indonesia that are participating in the Productive Migrant Village program, especially in villages that are pockets of Indonesian migrant workers. Apart from protection through the Productive Migrant Village, Fauziah said, the Indonesian government also provides Indonesian migrant workers with health insurance, social security, work accident insurance, death insurance, and old age security while working abroad. Next, we have Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi, who met with Tongan Deputy Prime Minister Samiu Kutavaipulu on Tuesday to discuss cooperation in ecotourism, disaster mitigation, fisheries, and mitigation of climate change impacts. During the meeting, held on the sidelines of the 5th ministerial meeting of the Archipelagic and Island States Forum in Nusa Dua, Bali, both parties agreed to foster ecotourism cooperation, particularly in enhancing ecotourism infrastructure in Tonga. According to a statement released by the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs within a bilateral framework, Vaipulu proposed cooperation to enhance risk management capacity and to mitigate natural disasters and climate change impacts. Given Tonga's vulnerability to natural disasters in the Pacific region, he also urged Indonesia to become an investment partner, including in the fisheries sector. We end the last national news with Indonesia that has established cooperation with the United Nations Development Program, or UNDP, through the Climate Promise Project to develop a blueprint or roadmap for tourism decarbonization. Indonesian Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, Sandiaga Salahuddin Uno, said, according to the minister, the tourism decarbonization roadmap will cover three subsectors, namely tourism attractions, particularly destinations, accommodation or tourism facilities, and tours and travel. He added at a press conference on the roadmap for the Indonesian tourism sector towards decarbonization in Badung, Bali on Tuesday, the initial initiative will focus on aspects of energy consumed and waste generated from tourism activities. Now we move to the international news. Malaysia's parliament on Wednesday passed a law that will require the country's biggest energy consumers to implement power-saving measures as it looks to slash its energy consumption and carbon emissions. Malaysia has pledged to reduce its greenhouse gas emissions by 45% across the economy by 2030 and reach net zero emissions by 2050. Natural Resources, Environment and Climate Change Minister Nik Nazmi Nik Ahmad said when presenting the bill in the lower house on Tuesday, the enforcement of the Energy Efficiency and Conservation Act is projected to save energy use by 2017, as would say, 2 million gigajoules equivalent to 97.1 billion ringgit, or about $20 billion by 2050. We end the news with Japan that will chair a meeting of finance ministers and central bank governors from the Group of Seven, or G7, advanced nations on October 12 to discuss the war in Ukraine and the world economy. Finance Minister Sunichi Suzuki said on Tuesday, the G7 meeting will be part of a broader Group of 20 gathering. Suzuki told reporters that it will be held on the sidelines of the annual International Monetary Fund conference so that these debates will bear fruit. The G7 meeting will also include roundtable talks with African nations to facilitate flows of private sector funds to the continent. That was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Bangsa, negara, rakyat adil, makmur. Listeners, today's commentary will discuss AIS Forum, Indonesia's contribution to archipelagic and island countries. Indonesia is hosting an international forum again. This time, it is the Archipelagic and Island States AIS Forum 2023. The forum takes place in Bali on October 10 until 11. The AIS Forum 2023 is a forum for Indonesia to contribute ideas regarding solutions to the challenges faced by archipelagic and island countries. At the ministerial level meeting held on October 10, 2023, the delegations agreed that solidarity and collaboration are critical to tackling various climate change challenges, especially those affecting the marine sector. After chairing the fifth ministerial meeting of AIS Forum in Nusa Dua, Bali on Tuesday, the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Retno Marsudi, said that as the largest archipelagic country, Indonesia is trying to be at the forefront of facing common challenges in overcoming climate change, such as sea level rise, marine pollution, and loss of biodiversity. Retno Marsudi said that the AIS Forum demonstrated the Indonesian leadership commitment and its contribution to archipelagic and island states. The formation of the AIS Forum cannot be separated by Indonesia's development, which initiated the forum along with the United Nations Development Program UNDP. Since its inception through the Manado Joint Declaration in 2018, the AIS Forum has regularly held senior official meetings and ministerial meetings annually. The forum involves the participation of 51 archipelagic and island states, regardless of area, size, or level of development. Another commitment shown by Indonesia is a $5 million funding for sustainable development. Deputy for Maritime Sovereignty and Energy of the Indonesian Coordinating Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Investment, Jody Mahardi, said that so far the funding commitment has only come from Indonesia. It is hoped that other countries or international organizations will soon follow suit. Indonesia's contribution to archipelagic and island states certainly will provide meaningful and significant results with the support of its people, considering that more than 160 million Indonesians live on its coast. Indonesian people should take real action to cope with climate change so that sea levels do not rise further, marine pollution can be reduced, and biodiversity is maintained. It is hoped that the AIS Forum 2023 will strengthen the solidarity of archipelagic and island countries to jointly encourage the future global governance agenda. And listener, that was commentary from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia.
We begin today in history with an event on October 11, 1968, when NASA launched Apollo 7, the first human manned space mission. Apollo 7 was the first human crewed launch mission in the United States National Aeronautics and Space Administration's Apollo program, NASA. This mission is an 11-day mission to orbit the Earth, as well as the first human crewed launch of a Saturn IB rocket launcher, and the first space mission with a crew of three people from the United States. This mission was launched from Cape Canaveral on October 11, 1968, and landed again on October 22, 1968. Apollo 7 orbited in space for 10 days and 20 hours, 9 minutes and 3 seconds, a total of 163 orbital passes. Moving on to October 11, 1984, about Aeroflot Flight 3352 crash. Aeroflot Flight 3352 was a local flight from Krasnodar to Novosibirsk, Russia. While landing at Omsk Airport on Thursday, October 11, 1984, the plane hit a maintenance vehicle on the runway. The crash killed all 174 people on board the plane and four airport staff. The main cause of this accident was air traffic controllers falling asleep while on duty. As of 2015, the accident remains the deadliest aviation accident in Russia. We end today in history with October 11, 2012, when the first International Day of the Girl Child was celebrated. International Day of the Girl Child is a day of remembrance declared by the United Nations. October 11, 2012 was the first time that Girls' Day was celebrated. The commemoration aims to support more opportunities for girls and raise awareness of the gender inequalities faced by women around the world. This inequality includes the right to education, access to education, nutrition, legal rights, medical care, and protection from discrimination, violence against women, and child marriage. That was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Jangan dengarkan orang bicara, jangan ikuti orang mengarah. Mereka cuma sirik sama kita. Percuma omongan orang dipercaya.
Cinta kita
acuhkan. Nada sumbang yang gak jelas, acuhkan. Suara pengadu domba mereka selalu sirik dengan cinta.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia Today focuses on Indonesia Netherlands Hold RECSIN, encouraging faster decarbonization. The Indonesian Energy and Mineral Resources, joining hands with the Netherlands Embassy in Jakarta, held the Renewable Energy and Climate Summit Indonesia Netherlands, or RECSIN, in Jakarta on 9th until 13th October 2023. The meeting, joined by government, business, university, and institution representatives of the two nations, aimed to encourage the acceleration of energy transition and decarbonization. Indonesian Minister for Energy and Mineral Resources, Arifin Tasrif, in his opening remark said, "Climate change has affected extreme weathers across the planet." The minister then reminded that this situation forced the global community to change their energy system into the more eco-friendly and sustainable ones. Minister Arifin explained the Indonesian government has taken steps to face those challenges. One of them was making the energy transition roadmap to the net zero emission, or NZE, by 2060 or faster. The net zero emission acceleration was carried out with decarbonization programs, developing renewable energy available in Indonesia, such as solar power, wind, water, and geothermal. He conveyed, in implementing this program, Indonesia has closed some coal-fired power plant and doing biomass co-firing at these coal-fired power plant, converting diesel power plant into gas and renewable energy. Indonesia also has prepared funding for geothermal drilling, electric motorbike conversion, and optimizing the use, including processing and refinement of mineral resources such as nickel and other earth elements that can be used as components for wind turbine, solar panel, and electric vehicles. In RECSIN Forum, the climate envoy of the Netherlands, Jim de Bourbon, the Palmer explained the Netherlands is encouraging cooperation in solar and wind energy for the acceleration of transition to renewable energy in Indonesia. According to Jaime, globally, solar power and wind energy are the cheapest way to get renewable energy and handle climate change. Besides, Jaime added, RECSIN also aims to implement the cooperation between Indonesia and Netherlands in energy transition to achieve new opportunities together while facilitating knowledge exchange about the latest innovation and renewable energy development, building new business relations, and making partnership between Indonesian and Dutch companies. James further remarked that during the same meeting, there was a contract signing between Dutch Hyatt Solar and Indonesian Pertamina in developing a photovoltaic thin film solar panel factory in Indonesia with 300 megawatt annual production capacity with $200 capital expenditure. In the end of his explanation, James and Minister Arifin hoped through the RECSIN, the collaboration between Indonesia and Netherlands could be stronger, so it can bring benefits, especially in energy transition acceleration and achieving the net zero emission, encouraging investment in renewable energy sector in Indonesia, and promoting green economy as well as partnership in the trade sector sustainability. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Dan harus ku akui, aku kehilangan. Ku kehilangan saat bersama, saat kita pernah berbagi rasa. Tak bisa ku pungkiri, aku kehilangan. Ku kehilangan keseimbangan dan peri yang tak tertahankan. Yeah. Aku tak berdaya. Yeah. Kau yang selalu ada harus terpisahkan. Berangkatlah dengan tenang, bawa sebersih senyuman. Doaku panjatkan, selamat jalan kawan. Berangkatlah dengan tenang, bawa sebersih senyuman. Doaku panjatkan, selamat jalan kawan. Oh yeah. Sebersih senyuman, doaku panjatkan, selamat jalan kawan. Berangkatlah dengan tenang, bawa sebersih senyuman. Doaku panjatkan, selamat jalan kawan. Selamat jalan kawan, selamat jalan kawan.
Voice of Indonesia.
West Java Province, especially Garut, is famous as a cool area with beautiful nature as well as several interesting tourism sites. One of the interesting tourism areas is Batu Tumpang. This is a large rock located on a cliff around Genteng Village, Tanjung Jaya Village, Banjarwangi District, Garut Regency. Batu Tumpang is a giant rock that is synonymous with the history of the eruption of a volcano in this area. This assumption seems correct by looking at the surrounding hills. The large rock that is seen riding on the cliff has become an iconic stopover for drivers heading both to the city and to Pakidulan or south. This area used to be a natural dense forest in the Garut area, while specifically the Batu Tumpang area was a type of reserve forest. This forest has deliberately not been planted with tea plantation since the Dutch era because it is an exceptional area for planting. However, due to the interest of developing community settlements, the land was opened for the purposes of planting vegetable and community plantations. So, when you stop at the Batu Tumpang location, you can enjoy the natural beauty and at the same time see the agricultural activities of the surrounding community. The Batu Tumpang location is on the main Cikajang Road, more specifically on Jalan Cikajang, Garut. From Garut City, the distance is around 36 km and the travel time is 1.5 hours by motor vehicles. This tourism attraction is indeed suitable as a family tourism destination on weekends. Moreover, there are many tourism attractions that you can enjoy. There are green expanses of tea plantations, vegetable gardens, blowing mist and cool air are a magnet not only for visiting drivers but also for the local community, especially young people, to enjoy the view. Apart from Batu Tumpang in Tanjung Jaya Village, other interesting tourism attractions that can be visited include the DITII Cave, Ebot Cave, Curug Ngebul, rock climbing area, and camping ground. That's Indonesian Wonder.
Coba ku terjang deras hidup ini, ku buang gelisah. cepat. Selama masih bernapas, selagi kau masih dapat dan berlari cepat. Seperti Ben Johnson dan berpikir dan menjadi seperti Thomas Alva Edison. Jalan ini pilih kehidupan. Bila kau tak cepat, kau pasti termakan. Jalan ini pilih kehidupan. Bila kau tak cepat, kau pasti termakan.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a program that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. Today's topic is Ngarai Sianok, Ngarai Sianok, which means Sianok Canyon. Stay tuned. We are going to present to you a conversation entitled Lampunya Kurang Terang. Lampunya Kurang Terang, which means the lamp is less bright. This conversation happens between Chris George Robinson, a vlogger from Australia, and Sortauli, Chris' friend in the vlog community at the entrance of Lubang Jepang Historical Object. Chris describes the lighting at Lubang Jepang or Japanese Tunnel. Let's listen to the conversation.
Merekam video di dalam lubang Jepang, perlu lampu kamera tidak?
Perlu, di dalam lubang kurang terang.
Kalau begitu, saya akan membawa lampu ekstra.
After listening to the conversation, now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic of the day. I'm going to say each word two times and you can repeat after me. Di dalam lubang kurang terang. Di dalam lubang kurang terang, which means it is less bright inside the tunnel. Di dalam. Di dalam, which means inside. Lubang. Lubang, which means hole, tunnel, or in this case is bunker. Kurang terang. Kurang terang, which means less bright. Merekam. Merekam, which means record. Video, video, which means video. Lubang Jepang, which means Japanese tunnel. Perlu, perlu, which means need. Lampu kamera, which means camera light. Kalau begitu, which means so or then. Membawa, membawa, which means bring. Lampu extra, which means more or extra lamps. In the conversation, you hear the sentence di dalam lubang kurang terang. Di dalam lubang kurang terang, which means it is less bright inside the tunnel. In the sentence, there is the word kurang, kurang, which means less. It states an unideal condition. To state an unideal condition, you can use the word kurang, kurang, which means less, followed by an ideal condition. For example, terang, terang, which means bright. So it becomes kurang terang, which means less bright. Now let's listen to the other examples to use the word kurang, which means less, in other sentences. Kurang panas, which means less hot. Kopinya kurang panas, which means the coffee is less hot. Kurang tajam, which means less sharp. Resolusi videonya kurang tajam. Resolusi videonya kurang tajam, which means the video resolution is less sharp. Lubang Jepang is a historical tourism object in the city of Bukit Tinggi, West Sumatra, Indonesia. Lubang Jepang is a bunker built by Japan in 1942. Some entrances to Lubang Jepang are in Ngarai Sianok, Agam Regency, West Sumatra Province. Before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Merekam video di dalam lubang Jepang, perlu lampu kamera tidak?
Perlu. Di dalam lubang, kurang terang.
Kalau begitu, saya akan membawa lampu ekstra.
Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today. I'm Rahma. Sampai jumpa.
Now
Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listener, today's Music Corner presents a song entitled Hujan Gerimis that was composed by the legendary Betawi or native Jakarta artist Benyamin Sueb. The lyrics are a humorous pantun or rhyming poetry about breaking up in love. The song has the message that you do not need to cry about a breakup because everyone has his own soulmate. The most popular song Hujan Gerimis is sung by Benyamin Sueb and Ida Royani. However, there are also many other musicians who perform the song Hujan Gerimis in different styles. Just like this one that we're going to present you today, a song version by Ina Kamari. So listener, here is the song Hujan Gerimis by Ina Kamari. Enjoy!
Of Indonesia.
Gendang yang beraksi. Go home to my lost man. Gang Bugis 1990.